for the very few who aren't aware of OneSpark, Deborah, the world's first crowdfunding festival. It happened last year in the city to huge success. And as they gear up for their second annual event at the Schultz Center for Teaching, you are joining forces with OneSpark. How did this all come about?
Well, we are psyched, to say the least. OneSpark brought 130,000 people to downtown Jacksonville to engage with 500 creators over five remarkable days. The Schultz Center staff was in that crowd. And you might say it sparked an idea with us. We were in the process of reinventing ourselves. And we came away from OneSpark saying, how is it that we could engage in this idea festival? How could we become an engine of education innovation? And you know what OneSpark does is they urge creators out of their dorm rooms, their studios, their garages, their kitchen tables, and says, come bring your ideas as projects at OneSpark. So we asked ourselves the question, how do we coax the next generation of what we like to call solutionists out of their schools and classrooms to share broadly, to engage with one another, to transform learning? And that's how it started.
Interesting. And we'll go to your calls in just a moment about the Schultz Center's new partnership with OneSpark. What are your questions? 549-2937. And so what you're going to be announcing is a way to get students, kids, involved in OneSpark, creating their own projects, doing their own critical thinking, and seeking some of the crowdfunding money. But this will be part of school in a way, won't it?
I hope so. We're really hoping to engage not just our school districts, but our private schools, our home schools, our virtual school students and educators. Because in the theory and the philosophy of OneSpark, great ideas are happening everywhere all the time and anyone can have one. It's really open source. And it's our experience at the Schultz Center. You know, Melissa, we were founded to really create innovation through collaboration, to break down the barriers between classrooms and districts, to bring teachers together both face-to-face and also virtually so they could collaborate, share their ideas, and we could create great professional learning for all educators at all levels, not just teachers, but principals and administrators as well. And what we know from our more than a decade of collaborative work in Northeast Florida is that the next great idea in education is already here. It's out there. It's in classrooms and schools all over the place. It's just that the nature of our isolated, siloed schools don't allow them to pop up. So we asked, how do we coax these people out? And we think that curating the education innovation venue of OneSpark, which we are calling EdSpark, is going to launch not just the next generation of Schultz Center work, but also give our students an opportunity to engage in ways that they haven't previously been able to.
And we'll connect you with Deborah Gianolis in just a moment at 549-2937. So this seems perfect for young people. OneSpark was dreamed up by young innovators.
Yes, it was.
And this seems like a good fit for kids who are very technologically and digitally sophisticated, much more than us old folks, right? And so I would think it won't be a tough sell to get high school kids, even junior high school kids, fired up about this.
Well, and what our message is going to be to their parents and educators is nurture your children's ideas. The way that our students can participate under 18 in OneSpark is they will be entered with an adult mentor. What I love about OneSpark is it really encourages that team approach. So every OneSpark creator, adult or under 18, has a team with them. And so what we envision is that we will have teams of parents, educators, students working together around adult ideas and student ideas. And for the student ideas, it really can cover that full range of OneSpark criteria. So it's art, it's innovation, it's science, technology, music. It's not just science and math. It's STEAM. You know, you've heard about STEAM, right? Science, technology, education, arts, math, innovation. And we imagine particularly that our career academies that have a lot of investment in project-based learning and often ask students to come up with their own ideas and develop a plan to bring them to scale could be perfect candidates for this kind of work. The other thing is we're not just asking our regional students and educators and parents to get engaged with us through OneSpark, but This is a national and international effort. We expect to have global creators. And we're already hearing from some of the recruiting that we're doing from people across the country who are very, very innovative in the education arena and know of us through our work at the Schultz Center. So this is going to be an opportunity, I think, to really imagine a transformation of learning. And we just couldn't be more excited about it.
The big announcement is coming up later this morning at the Schultz Center. But what are your questions right now as the Schultz Center for Teaching and Leadership teams up with OneSpark, 549-2937, Nick on the north side. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Just a quick comment. I don't know exactly how this would tie in with OneSpark, but when it comes to education and reforming education and making education work for kids, too, the dropout rate is very high, and it's because people lose interest. I think what we need to teach kids is the things that they need to know, they'll need to know in the future, and what sorts of things will they need to know is how to take care of themselves, self-sufficiency. And this would involve harvesting energy from the earth. In other words, solar power, wind power, tidal power, and so on. And so I think that one thing that the Duval County School System and maybe your program as well would do well to incorporate is how to teach kids how to build solar power systems. You know, they can even install them in their own schools. And the other thing that people need to know how to do is how to grow food. And I know that's a low-tech thing, but something, again, that they should do in these schools, the elementary schools, is there's land all over. These elementary schools are usually on big, huge blocks of land. I don't know why they couldn't take a small portion of it and dedicate it to a small garden, teach kids how to grow tomatoes and peppers and all the rest of that stuff. And so that when kids get, as they get older, they're learning the skills that they'll need in the future to be self-sufficient, how to have energy and how to have food.
And you know, Nick, this, I love your call because that is happening in our schools. As a matter of fact, the front page of the Times Union has an article today about kids who are growing their food. And really, JEA is working with career academies across the region, and part of what they're discuss is what is the future of electric power. So the great ideas that are out there are the ones that we want to bring to fruition, to really bring to scale. And at 11 o'clock today, if you're in the neighborhood of the Schultz Center, we're located right on the south side at 4019 Boulevard Center in the Midtown Center, where the old Coger Center, for those of you who've been around for a while, down from Coon Flowers. 11 o'clock, we'll be announcing this effort, and you'll meet examples of these great, bold innovators who we think are the future of education.
Thanks, Nick, for the call. And it's 549-2937. What are your questions about the Schultz Center for Teaching and Leadership teaming up with OneSpark, the world's first crowdfunding festival? 549-2937. Jennifer in Mandarin. Hi, Jennifer. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Morning. Wow. How to compact everything I have to say. So I'm a farmer, so I agree with the idea of the school farms and or the school gardens. Irony is that you can't grow food on a school as a child and eat it in the classroom. That's not considered okay by the food policy standards. So as ironic as that is, that's one of the things that I guess, you know, to say to Deborah, if we could find a way to get some of the policies and regulations out of the way so kids could actually learn. I was one of the original creators from last year, and I was very fortunate to fall under the eye of Mr. Shad Khan and get some funding from him. So I consider myself...
What was your project?
Yeah, tell us about it, Jennifer.
Well, my project was actually with Will Allen, who is a urban farmer extraordinaire, who's been a, I guess, what is it called? MacArthur Grant. MacArthur
a genius grant.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a guy who goes all over the world and shows people how they can grow food on a smaller scale, but in greater abundance. And it was to raise funds and awareness to bring him here. That's actually a project that's still ongoing. You know, it's a costly project. And, you know, as many people found last year, they didn't get enough money to do their project. But what they did get out of OneSpark was a lot of feedback, valuable feedback that you couldn't pay for the marketing, you know, that you got there. So that was really the big bonus. But as far as I actually did a food summit program or was involved in a food summit program at Schultz Center last year. It's a great location, And I think it's like a farm of its own, you know. It's a garden plot that's a very fertile place for all sorts of educational opportunities. But what I have learned in a former life, doing some lobbying here in Florida, Tallahassee, is that our education has taken a fork in the road back really early last century. And a lot of that was from major, major money, you know, the DuPonts, Rockefellers, basically going into teaching colleges. And I guess this is old news to a lot of people, but it wasn't to me at the time, that they basically started teaching teachers to teach children the things that would allow them to be good employees in the future. Rather than having a well-rounded, vast panorama of knowledge, you know, history, calculus, etc., they started getting kids ready to become employees. And I think we took a divergent route that really lost a lot for us as far as thinking.
All right. Well, Jennifer, thanks for the call. And great call from Jennifer in Mandarin. And I just want to give the number again for other callers this morning, 549-2937. Lots in her call. Let's talk for a minute about, for those who aren't familiar with it, the mission of the Schultz Center.
The mission of the Schultz Center is to encourage innovation through collaboration. And the Schultz Center was built with taxpayer dollars and private philanthropists who believe that educators deserved a Fortune 500 facility for training and conference because they foresaw that the 21st century learning would require teachers to be learning constantly, developing new skills, learning how to experience and model the 21st century skills that we expect our children to have. And speaking back to what Jennifer referred to, school should be so much more than what you need to get a job. That's one part of it. But what school needs to be about is giving children life skills that really are the skills we're going to need in the 21st century, which are going to require innovation and entrepreneurship on the behalf of all of us because the rate of change is so fast. Yeah. And so we need children to develop persistence, and we really need to get them engaged around their own ideas. What I love about the EdSpark venue at OneSpark is that young people will have the ability to interact with people like Jennifer. They'll have the ability to share their ideas, and they'll even have their ability to talk about policy discussions. And I will tell you, from my previous life advocating in Tallahassee, I think the legislature could learn an awful lot if they listen to children.
Like what?
They could learn what really matters to kids. And what they learn that really matters to kids is the relationships they have with their teachers, and that they really don't like being tested to death. I mean, we have got kids who are creative, who are dying. Education should not be drudgery. And when the first 3 weeks of school is all testing, and then when they know that about in February, they go into the FCAT, and then in high schools, when the whole second half of last semester is nothing but tests, that isn't what engages children. And we've done 20 years of that. That's the status quo now. You know, what if we actually allowed teachers and students to innovate their way forward, to tell us what engages them and how they want to learn? And what you discover is that when people are given the right conditions, it's amazing what they can accomplish. So we want to encourage these young people to let us know, how do you want to learn? Because I think we should listen to them.
And when you talk about the overabundance, the overemphasis on testing, what are your thoughts about the shift in Florida and other states to these new Common Core state standards, which we're told will encourage more independent and critical thinking with our kids?
The Common Core state standards were developed, as you know, by the nation's governors, who said we need to get away from this different standards in all 50 states because our children are very mobile. You know, they move between state and state, particularly think about our military families here in Jacksonville. The standards are good, and they are not a curriculum. And what they, in a perfect world, which of course we never live in, but we strive to, in a perfect world, Common Core standards simply give educators who know best and are the people who care for kids an opportunity to create learning that will meet the standards for their children. So it really creates more innovation. It's much more inquiry-based and much more integrated. And that's one of the things that I think is exciting about the Common Core standards. It's been typical that teachers are siloed in their classrooms. The Common Core standards don't allow that. I mean, literally, teachers have got to work in teams. They've got to work across disciplines. This is how you work in the real world, not just in the workplace, but in our nonprofit arena, in our civic engagement. people have to partner with people who they don't agree with. And as you know, we're having a little trouble with that at some levels in American society today. So I think actually our students and teachers can teach us a lot. And the Schultz Center really welcomes the expertise that we know exists in the field because we see it every day. And we really welcome the input of parents. And I'm hoping that some of the creators that we are able to showcase in EdSpark will be parents who say, okay, schools, you want to know how to engage us? Here's an idea.
Wow. Let's take a few more calls as we speak with Schultz Center CEO Deborah Giannoulis about today's big announcement as the Schultz Center teams up with OneSpark, the world's first crowdfunding festival. What are your thoughts about getting kids involved in creating new ideas and seeking some of that crowdfunding money? Maybe you've got a budding genius at home with some great ideas. If you could put Brooke into the queue, please. Let's get Brooke on the line. She's calling from the north side. Let's go to Brooke. Hi, Brooke. Good morning.
Melissa.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Brooke Stevens. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for your call.
I'm calling about the fact that kids need to learn about financial literacy because all the wonderful, innovative ideas that they can come up with are wonderful. But if you don't know how to manage and preserve the capital you create for yourself, it's not going to grow and help you or the community in which you live.
Yeah. And you know what? We just got an email from another listener, Brooke, saying the same thing. Financial literacy is of paramount importance. Managing your bank account, investing, sensible shopping, budgeting. They never taught me that when I was in school, and I wish they had.
Now, here's what
so
Brooke needs to know.
Thank you so much for the call.
Brooke and your call and your emailer
and the emailer.
We are teaching financial literacy in schools. In fact, in St. John's County, one of the jobs of the Schultz Center is to coordinate the Regional Career Academy Council. St. John's County has teamed up with ViStar, and they do this in Duval County as well, but I'm just familiar with the fact that St. John's and ViStar just presented at a national conference on what they call a reality fair, and I participated in that recently. And what they do is they bring children in. There's a whole curriculum around this, and they give them a life story. And then they go from booth to booth and they learn about housing and electricity and they learn about giving of philanthropy. They learn about all of the various factors that can affect you in life and they learn what their salary is. And then as they go through this fair, life happens to them. They get a divorce. They lose a job. Mm. The car breaks down. And what is fascinating to watch, I ran the housing segment in a ViStar program at St. John's County, and they came back to me after they had picked their fancy digs and said, whoa, I am not going to be able to afford to live there because I just found out that the car that I want, the insurance costs more because I wanted, you know, this big truck or this of my age. So that is going on. And that's one of the reasons why we really need EdSpark, because we need people to understand that so many great things are happening in our schools. All we ever hear about is what's wrong. And the reality is the dropout rate has been improving. Our student test scores have been improving while so many other factors that profoundly affect children's life have been on the decline. The poverty rate is going up, foreclosures have affected their families, and yet in schools they are improving. It's not a rocket to the moon kind of level of achievement, but it is improvement. And I think it's phenomenal that kids with all their everything else that they deal with are still improving in their test scores.
Brooke, thanks so much for that call. I hope that gives you a little more to discuss, hopefully when you come back and join me on this program. Thanks for the call, Brooke.
Thank you, Brooke.
Deborah Giannoulis, CEO of the Schultz Center for Teaching and Leadership. Always a pleasure. And we'll have more about this on our website today as well. Deborah, thanks so much.
Melissa, always grateful to be here.